1 Corinthians 15. And as you can see, you've seen this board so many times you could draw it yourself in your sleep. But this is a typical, just a pre-trib, pre-millennial layout of the Bible. And you've seen all of that before. But we'll try to fill it in as we go. Now, obviously, we preached on the resurrection this past Sunday. But if you come here on Wednesday nights, you do realize there's a difference in Sunday morning preaching and Wednesday night teaching. It's totally different. And so, 1 Corinthians 15, let's look, let's see what it says here. Moreover, brethren, when Paul says brethren, he's talking to saved people. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Let me read that. Now, the first four verses, what we just read, is the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. Nothing added to that. Nothing taken away from that. The death, burial, and the resurrection, that is the gospel, the good news. Anybody that adds to that, according to Galatians chapter 1, let him be accursed. And so that is the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we preached about Sunday, what we celebrated this past Sunday, we ought to celebrate it every day, but what we celebrated was the key that holds everything together and is the gospel for all the world. Now, what happens, look at verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain. In other words, we might as well go home, that we're wasting our time tonight. And your faith is also vain. Matter of fact, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. So me up here standing in front of y'all, I'm lying to y'all if Christ wasn't risen from the dead. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. Oh, let's see, is that 15 verse? Yes, 14 and 15. Now, look at verse 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But every man in his own order, Christ first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now, I said all that, read all the verses to say this. There are more than one resurrection in the Bible. We'll look at all of those. There's about seven of them. We'll look at them tonight. And it all centers around Jesus Christ, him being the first resurrection. Up from the grave he arose, triumphant for his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Now, you ever thought about this? You can still be a good Buddhist with a dead Buddha. You can be a good Muslim with a dead Allah. But you can't be a good Christian if Christ is dead. Does that make sense? You can be a Buddhist and Buddha be dead. And you can be a good one. You can be a good Muslim and your God be dead. But if it comes to find out, we find one finger or one toe of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cease to be Christians. Does that make sense? If he has not raised from, wasn't raised from the dead, then we're all men most miserable. You know? What does it say in Matthew 28 verse 6? The angel said, he's not here for he is risen just like he said. Now, Christ is risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, this is an amazing thing, but I don't have time to go into a lot of detail. But, Jesus Christ said on the cross, told the thief on the cross, he said, today
you'll be with me in paradise. You say, where's paradise? Well, it's in the lower parts of the earth. How do you know that? Luke 16. Abraham, rich man, and Lazarus. Rich man went to hell, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Saw Abraham, Lazarus in Abraham's bosom afar off. There's a great gulf fixed. They couldn't cross one to the other. Jesus, let's see, Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, three nights, where? In the heart of the earth. That's where he went. And for those 3 days, they took his body. They put his body in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea rolled the rock over there. That was his body. On the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. His body goes to the tomb. His spirit goes back to the Father from whence it came. His soul goes to the lower parts of the earth. And first, he leaves here and he goes and he takes your sin. He takes my sin. And he dumps them into hell, the sea of forgetfulness. He takes the keys from the devil. Revelation 1, 18. I am he that is risen, was dead, am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Revelation 1, 18. So he took the keys from the devil. The devil's the only person that don't even have keys to his own shop. Boy, ain't that sad. He dumps your sins here, and then he comes right over here, and everybody in the Old Testament, everybody in the Old Testament, here's something that's interesting, and I know some of you, most of you know this already, but for those watching on the internet or whatever, everybody that died in the Old Testament, saved, lost, they went to hell. Saved Old Testament folks. Didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. You say, why? Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept. Nobody could raise until he was the first fruits of the resurrection. You see. Now, all this kind of stuff, you know, we didn't talk about Sunday morning because there's a difference in Sunday morning preaching, Wednesday night teaching. So Jesus goes, dumps your sins, takes the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He goes over here. We sort of illustrated this Sunday morning. Remember, he told all these guys, hey, are you him? You remember all of that? Okay. And everybody in Abraham's bosom, he cleans that out. He says, all right, y'all get ready. I am he. It is finished. The blood's been applied. Y'all get in single file line, and Jesus Christ raises from the dead and takes everybody in Abraham's bosom, Old Testament saints, with him. So now there is no Abraham's bosom. It's cleaned out. Why? Because on this side of the cross, a person dies. If you die and you're saved, you don't go to Abraham's bosom. You go straight to heaven. Why? Because he was the first fruits, every man in his own order, Christ being the first fruit, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So, all of these folks had to wait. They had to wait on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood to be applied. And so they had to wait for that. Now, do you see where a lot of people, some of our friends, we love them, and we love them real big, but they believe in purgatory. When you die, you go to purgatory and you have to wait. And if you pray and you pay the preacher enough, you either go up or go down. If you pay enough money to the church and you pray and get everybody praying for your loved ones that are dead, you just start rising up. If you don't, you keep sinking. Number one, that ain't in the Bible. But the idea, Old Testament saints, they didn't go straight to heaven. They went to a holding place. Until Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed the blood, became the first fruits of the resurrection. And so he took. So this one, I went a long way around to say this is the first of the seven resurrections. And it's based upon Jesus Christ. Nobody. Now you say, well, what about Lazarus? He raised Lazarus from the dead and all of that. Well, you have to remember, Lazarus, yes, raised from the dead, but he had to die again. Boy, don't you know Lazarus been dead 4 days? Lazarus has been down here 4 days. His sisters go to Jesus. Here's a lot of people don't think about this. His sisters go to Jesus and said, oh, you know, da, da, da. And then Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. You know good and well, he whooped both of his sisters when he come up. He was in a place of peace and safety. And then he had to come. Don't you know he whooped both his sisters. But Lazarus had to die again. Anybody that raised, Jesus Christ, when he rose, never had to die again. You see. Now, that's what happens. He dies, goes to hell, and all of that. There's a lot of, there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4. He that ascended first descended to the lower parts of the earth, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, so on and so forth. Ephesians chapter 4. All that's explained in the Bible. That is the first. And here's something else too. He's called the first fruits of the resurrection. Well, he arose on that Sunday, the Feast of First Fruits. It's an amazing thing. All right. Second one. Let's get to the second one. The second one is found in Matthew. Let's see. Oh, I was going to show you this verse. I quoted it. He told the thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise, and so on and so forth. And there's the verse I quoted in Ephesians 4. If you want to write it down and tell it where it is, it's Ephesians 4, 8, and 9. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first. He went down here first, the lower parts of the earth, Ephesians 4. Now, here's the second one, and it's found in Matthew 27. Now, you don't hear a lot of preaching on this one, but it's very interesting. Matthew 27, about verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Basically, it's when he died. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Now, don't you know that was a sight for sore eyes? Now, so here's the second resurrection. Now, it's possibly a lot of these. I'm gonna take a wild guess, and I'll prove it later. This is a little deeper study, but notice it says, and many bodies of the saints, not all of them, but many of them, not all of them, but many of them, which slept, arose, came out of their graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Those were Gentile, Old Testament Gentile saints. When he come up, some of them, when he arose from the dead, some of them came up and arose from the dead. So you have there in Matthew 27. I'm going to say Gentile saints is who come up when he arose. And walk, can you imagine? Now, get this picture. You know, you don't hear any preaching on this, but boy, this would be a good sermon to preach around Halloween. Many graves were open. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after his resurrection, went into the city, holy city, appeared unto many. Now, you ever notice this? A lot of TV shows that we have today, they copy the Bible. The Walking Dead. Man, that's in the Bible. Man, come up with your own stuff. That's in the Bible. you know, Elvis wrote the Jailhouse Rock. Man, that's Acts 16. Come up with your own stuff. You know, stop copying what's in the Bible. The Jailhouse Rock. Man, Jesus rocked the jail in Acts 16 way before Elvis ever sung about it. Anyway, but can you imagine, you know, in between those 3 days, three nights, and him, his resurrection, many of the bodies which slept arose and went into the holy city. Oh, that'd be something. That'd be something. I wouldn't want to run up on one of them. I don't know what they look like, but, I still wouldn't want to run up on one. Now, number three. We got the first one, Christ, first fruits. You say, watch, remember, 1 Corinthians 15. Christ, first fruits, every man in his own order. Christ being the first fruits, and afterward, those are his that is coming. So, second one. I call them the walking dead. Now, the third one is a spiritual resurrection, and I'll show you what I mean. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, let me go back to 1. There we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, the prince now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way you were before you got saved. Y'all have all seen the illustration that I use and all of that. And I have to do it with this Bible because this one here is about wore out and I can't do it with this one no more. This is my preaching Bible and the teaching Bible. But you remember how before you got saved, you looked like that on the inside. And when you got saved, Holy Spirit of God moves in. It's like a resurrection. You were dead, and you hath he quickened who were dead. That's where were I was before he made me alive. Wherein in times past, that's the way I was. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, boy, I love it when God butts in. But God. Stay in your seat. I know it's Wednesday night. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together. Raised us up. There's a resurrection. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you, when you got saved, you are the spiritual resurrection. You were dead. Remember, let me just show you some of my great, great drawing abilities here. Man, I'm telling you, I'm really getting good at this. There you are on the inside. That's a lost person. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's the way you were born. That's why amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I can see. That's the way you were before you got saved. Then the Holy Spirit, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespassing and sin. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's like you're a walking dead man. But then when the Holy Spirit makes you alive, he comes in. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. He moves in and makes you alive. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God moves in, Holy Spirit, and now He lives on the inside of you. Now, the problem with us today is the only thing, here's what most Christians don't understand. That inside's the only thing that changed. My outside hadn't changed yet. We'll get to that in a second. But now, the Holy Spirit, I got two people. I got this guy and then the Holy Spirit living in the same body. Now the Holy Spirit wants me to read my Bible. This guy don't want to. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me, wants me to come to church. This guy don't want to. The Holy Spirit lives on inside of me, likes to eat clean, likes to eat spiritual stuff. This guy, you see, likes to waste a lot of time, you know, Facebooking. This guy, you know, what was it I read the other day that said when we get to heaven, no. Facebook has proved that lack of time is no excuse for not praying. Something of that nature. As much time as people spend on it, and then they get to heaven and say, well, Lord, we just didn't have enough time. And then He pulls up your Facebook says, looks like you had pretty, a lot of time to kill. Boy, y'all wouldn't expect that on a Wednesday night. But that is a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection. Okay? So there's three. Now, let's move to four. And the fourth one, y'all have heard, I don't know how many times, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now remember, this one, spiritual resurrection. When I got saved, I was spiritually resurrected. Okay? This one is going to be a physical. You remember I told you, the only thing that saved, I was on the inside. That got resurrected. Well, here, this guy is going to get resurrected. Okay, for the Lord Himself shall descend. Now, if you've ever wondered why I draw these like I do, here's the reason. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ. Let's just say there's some of our loved ones out in the ground. There they are. I hear laughter, but that is good. It just looked just like that. Okay. Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, dead in Christ, are going to rise first. There, here they come. Then we which are alive, if we just so happen to still be alive, them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. That's why we draw these two totally separate. It's because of what the Bible says. Meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I just started quoting and didn't turn the page, did I? And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, here's an interesting verse in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him, now you're talking about, see, all of it goes back to this one. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, okay? Holy Spirit lives in me, raised up Him. If the Holy Spirit raised up Him, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That same guy that lives on the inside of me, that same guy that lives on the inside of you, is the same person that raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to get you up.
Now, let me show you something here in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. Last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead, raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Remember, we made a funny about Miss Phyllis and, you know, and of course, not just her, but everybody in here's got spare, well, she don't no more. I mean, they took it all out. Well, she still got some stuff she's going to leave behind. Anyway, going to be changed. We shall be changed in a moment. Twinkling of an eye. Boom. Gone. Four, this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption and this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought past saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So on and so forth. This is talking about being changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And that is, remember I told you, this guy saved, this one I still have trouble with. And y'all do too. Don't look too spiritual. Because y'all have trouble with that guy too. Every morning when you get up, that guy gives you trouble. Amen. The Holy Spirit, boy, he has a job to do. Now, when that happens, this guy is going to be changed to match that guy. Amen. You see how it all plays in? And so this one here, the rapture of the church, we're going to call that number four, the rapture of the church. Now, let me give you this one. Let me jump one. Go to Revelation. I think I got it on here for you. Let me see if I can find it. Revelation. All right. Revelation chapter number 11. Now, when I say Revelation chapter number 11, we're going to be roughly somewhere about right there. Revelation chapter number 11. In the tribulation. I'm not going to be here. I'm going up right here. If you're saved, you're going up right here. But there are going to be people left behind that didn't get saved that's going to have to go through these 7 years of tribulation. Okay? Now, there's two guys going to show up in Revelation 11. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 threescore days. That's 1,260 days. That's 3.5. So these guys are going to show up about middle ways of the tribulation, and they're going to preach for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Okay? All right. And clothed in sackcloth. All right. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God, the earth. Matthew 17. Jesus transfigured. Who appears with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses, Elijah. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. I ain't got time to talk about that.
Are we still
Revelation 11?
Is that still on the fourth?
No, I'm fixing to talk about the fifth. The fourth one is the rapture. I'm fixing to talk about the fifth right here.
So what you're just saying,
yes, we're fixing to talk about the fifth. Let's see. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Boy, I wish I had that ability. And devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this matter be killed. Boy, you're talking about Moses and Elijah. When they come back, man, they got... Now, you say, how do you know they're Moses and Elijah? Well, it's real simple. It's not real difficult to figure out. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Elijah. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and smite the earth with all plagues. Moses. See, y'all figured that out as often as they will. You got these nuts that argue about who the two witnesses are going to be. It tells you right there. You know, and it's what
I get sidetracked. Lord, forgive me. But this is what they say. Well, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. All of men, you got to die. Everybody's got to die. So it has to be Enoch, because Enoch didn't die in the Old Testament. So he has to come back so he can die to fulfill Hebrews. Look, folks, we just said the rapture of the church. If the rapture was to take place right now, I don't know how many people's in this room right now, but there's several of us that'll never die. The verse ain't talking about that. Anyway, don't let me get sidetracked. I just wish people could read. Now, look here. I skipped the verse. Hang on. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended up out of the bottomless pit make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So, the beast is coming out of the false prophet, coming out of the bottomless pit. He's going to make war with these two as soon as they finish their testimony for 3.5 years. So at the end of the tribulation, the beast is going to rise up, make war with them, and kill them. All right? And there, well, it's just not doing right here, let's see. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They're going to leave Moses and Elijah laying out in the street. Look, now watch this. People of kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. Well, I can't see over in Jerusalem right now, but they're going to be filming that thing. It's going to be on every news. It's going to be on the Fox and everybody else. And boy, they're going to film that thing. And everybody, the whole world, is going to look at them men laying in the street. Don't even put them in graves. Just leave them laying out there. They cause so much trouble in the tribulation. The Antichrist hates them. They hate them two guys so bad. Going to just leave them laying out in the street for three days and a half. Well, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. Make merry and shall give gifts one to another. So that's going to happen around Christmas time. Some of you are a little slow. Make merry and shall give gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. You see that? The people in the tribulation are so, they're going to be, you think people are wicked now? You wait till the church leaves and the Holy Spirit's out of here and the tribulation, there's wickedness going to happen. It's bad enough now, but you just wait till we're getting out of here and Moses and Elijah shows up and preach it. Man, they're going to tick everybody off. Now, here it is. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood. Now, people, you say, well, the Bible's boring. There's nothing boring about that. I just don't get nothing out of the Bible. Well, you don't read it like I do. Man, that's a movie. God entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. Watch, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. Amen. Amen. And that's number 5. Come up hither. Now, and they ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. You can imagine that? And people say, well, that's... I'm telling you, probably CNN won't cover that. I don't know who all will cover that one. But man, you talk about them just two dead men. They've been out there for 3.5 days. And all of a sudden, the spirit of life, a voice from heaven says, come up hither. And them two, like Moses and Elijah, just get up and stand to their feet. Somebody, that'd be a good Halloween message. Okay. Now, let me give you another one. Number six, and then and this one is found in Ezekiel 37. This is going to be number six, Ezekiel 37. When we talked about Gog and Magog, we dealt with 38 and 39. And we did that whole deal about the battle of Gog and Magog. This is a chapter before that in Ezekiel 37. Now, if you've never understood all this, let's see if we can break her down. The hand of the Lord, verse 1, was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst, talking to Ezekiel. God picks him up and takes Ezekiel and sets him down in a valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about and beheld there were very many in the open valley and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, because I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will lay snoods upon you. That's meat and muscle, tissue upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, so obviously somebody's fixing to get resurrected right here. Now, y'all remember a while ago when I said these many bodies of them that slept arose and I told you they're probably only Gentiles. Saved Old Testament Gentiles that got up when he did. Here's the reason. Because this one, you say, who in the world are the bones, the dry bones? Out in the middle of an open field, there's a bunch of them, dry bones. Who are they? Well, the Bible explains. Look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, that's Israel, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Y'all see that? And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place in you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, you've heard me, I don't know how many times, talk about on Wednesday nights, when we do Wednesday night Bible study, you've heard me say 100,000 times, the nation of Israel is going to get that land. God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, said, Abraham, your kids, I'm promising you, they are going to get in the land and they are going to possess the land. I, the Lord, have promised it. Well, all the dead Jews from Old Testament, all the way, dead Jews, all of them, at the end, right here, all of these dead Jews are going to be raised, valley of dry bones. God's going to breathe breath into them, the whole house of Israel. And they're going to raise up and march into Jerusalem in the city of the great king. What's that old song? I used to love the song. And we did it a lot at Trinity. Yeah, that's it. Come we that love the Lord and whatever the verse goes. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. That's the nation of Israel. God will call them up
and put spirit in them, life into that dead nation. Raise them up as a nation and say, that new city, it's all yours. Just like I promised your father, Abraham, in Genesis chapter number 12. And they'll raise up and enter into, according to Ezekiel 37, and inherit that land. And that's what Ezekiel 37 is all about. Anyway, and we'll, if you have a question about that, we'll answer it in a minute. But let me get this last one real quick. Let me get this last one. And it's in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. I didn't put this one on the screen. And I've read this one a bunch. And I'm going to say this. That right there is a throne. If you can't tell, that is a throne right there. And if I had to tell you that, you can't see like I picture this. A throne. Miss Carol, can't you see it? Y'all pray for Miss Carol. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So, the great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So, remember I told you, Abraham's bosom was emptied out here, okay, when they came up with Christ. Now, we're fixing to empty out hell. And all of them are going to be resurrected and stand before God. And their names are not going to be found in the book of life. And so, remember, I've told you this before on Wednesday night, but there's a difference in hell and the lake of fire. Two totally different places. And so, when their names not found written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'm not sure where that's at. Don't have any idea. But it's wherever God says. I don't know. It'll be totally separate from where he's at. Like you imagine those folks standing before God. And here's something interesting. And I saw a great white throne, him sent from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. When these people are called up, they're standing before God in midair. Nothing under them. They're in outer space. Nothing under them. Nothing above them. All they can see is a great white throne and God sitting on it. Nothing holding them up. And when God says his name's not found, the bottom drops out. Are you talking about, that's serious stuff. Amen. That is a resurrection. Totally different from all these others. But it is a resurrection because it's going to be brought up. And people say, well, how do you explain? Well, hell is just when a person dies without Christ, they go to the center of the earth. That's hell. And then you always have to wait till you go see the judge. And when they go see the judge, then it's like going from the county jail to the penitentiary. Two separate places. Two separate reasons why you go there. County jail is just to hold you till you go see the judge. And if it's bad and you get sentenced to life, they don't carry you back to the county jail. They send you to the penitentiary for life, without parole, whatever. And that's a lake of fire. Two totally separate, different places. But all, in their own right, is resurrections. Now, I'll give you this real quick. And I know I went longer than I wanted to. But there are three parts to the first resurrection. And this is just a little extra. If you're a farmer or know anything about this, there's always the first fruits, and then there's the big harvest, and then there's the gleanings. There's always a first fruit. There's stuff that sprouts first. And then you got the big harvest, and then you got the leftovers, the gleanings. Three parts of the first resurrection. Blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection, wherein the second death has no power. I'm a part of that first resurrection. Because in between here, first fruits, harvest, the gleanings. Blessed is he that hath part in that first resurrection. Hallelujah. Well, I could go on a little further, but that's enough. That's enough to chew on anyway, ain't it? But that's seven resurrections.